Happy Good Friday. This is From Willingness to Wellness, and I'm your host, Debbie Robertson. Today, I have something very special for you. This is a bonus episode out of the ordinary for the sole purpose of bringing hope to you during this time. This is publishing on Good Friday of 2020, which happens to be in the midst of the coronavirus COVID-19 pandemic. I'm a member of a group called the Christian Podcasters Association, and we decided to get together, provide each other with little 5-minute mini episodes of what hope means to us. You're going to hear some different things from different people, but we all have one thing in common, and that is, first of all, that we love the Lord, and secondly, that we want to bring hope to you today. I hope you enjoy.
Hey guys, this is Jenna Erlinson from the Bridge of the Faithful podcast. This is a mini episode about where I get my hope. I learned that I'm not a huge fan of the ocean while in Hawaii 2 years ago. While I've traveled to many places in my life, I hadn't really spent much time at an ocean. My husband decided to surprise me by taking me there for our 10th anniversary. He couldn't wait to watch me experience my first time swimming in the beautiful blue waters. Never swimming in an ocean means I never had experienced waves. Nothing could have prepared me for the sight of a huge swelling wave cresting on the horizon, coming toward me with no way to stop it. And then, when that first rush hit me, I was completely overtaken and overwhelmed. I did not know how to get out from under it until it had dissipated. I realize this is melodramatic, and I was 7 weeks pregnant at the time, so I'm sure that's part of it, but the anxiety was so real. I'm here to say that I survived the waves, and God has shown me a lot from that experience. One of the biggest things I've learned is that no wave goes wasted. I'm a nurse, and at the time of this recording, we are at the cresting stage of this COVID wave, at least in Ohio. I see things looming on the horizon, ready to crash. But as I think about these kinds of swelling situations, God brought me back to thinking of Him. You see, God controls the waves. There are two stories in the Bible that comes to my mind when I think of waves and rough waters. The first is in the Old Testament. God had just proven His power through the 10 plagues and proven His favor by rescuing the Israelites and leading them toward His promised land. And then He led them straight to the Red Sea. Of course, Israel was terrified. They had a huge sea in front of them, blocking forward motion, and they had an Egyptian army behind them chasing to overcome them and bring them back to slavery. They felt trapped and betrayed by God. So how did He respond and answer their crying out? He made some waves. Exodus 14:21 tells us that to make the famous path in the Red Sea, God sent a strong east wind. A scientific study I read did some experiments and found that it would indeed be possible if the winds were about 63 miles per hour. For reference, an average tornado is 40 to 100 miles per hour. So with some turbulence and a strong push from behind, God made some huge waves. Through that, He provided safe passage when there seemed to be no way. He provided rescue in abundantly miraculous ways. Through those same waves, He provided vengeance and annihilation of a past that was pursuing and threatened to overtake to drag them back to slavery. Sometimes the huge, scary waves in our lives are the times when God exhibits His amazing power, provides rescues from our own areas of bondage, destroying its ability to take us over again. Other times, God calms the waves in our lives. Mark chapter 4 describes another tempestuous moment. It was nighttime on a boat with some experienced fishermen. Even better, it was a boat that had Jesus. However, Jesus was tired and took a nap. In the middle of that nap, a storm rose up. It was so intense that those experienced fishermen were so scared they panicked and woke up Jesus asking if He even cared that they were at risk of drowning. I kind of feel like that right now, don't you? We're here riding out this scary, wavy tempest, but like those disciples, we have Jesus on our boat. What did He do when the disciples asked for His help? Verse 39 says, "And He awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was great calm." The next thing He did was ask a question. Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith? I'm learning to find that faith, and that is where my hope is established. I belong to a God who either makes waves to rescue me or calms the waves that threaten to destroy me. I am safe in his hands despite the storms that surround me. And with his still, calming, loving voice, he says to my turbulent heart, "Peace be still," and still it becomes. Exodus 14:13-14. Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still."
Hi, this is Meg from Letters from Home podcast. Boy, these are crazy times we are living in, momentous times and historic. I asked my family this week what brings them hope. First, my husband, Mike.
So in a time like this with a global pandemic, there is a real need for hope. I've met people that are feeling very helpless and people that are feeling kind of hopeless. And the idea of being hopeless is a horrible, empty feeling. And for me, it's really important to separate what hope is from what wishful thinking is. You know, people think, "I hope I don't get the virus," or "If I do get the virus, I hope I don't get really sick and my family gets sick or hospital." But hope in the Bible is about something that you have an assurance and even a confidence, a conviction about. So I think that the pandemic is a place that doesn't change someone's hope at all. It just makes it more clear. As a matter of fact, hope in the Bible, it's always in the context of having to wait for something in the future. And it's about the trials associated with the current present conditions. The idea of hope in the midst of a storm says, I have something bigger than this storm that I'm anchored to. Talks about having an anchor within the veil, the Bible does, the veil being that place of God's presence. And so hope is something that brings you through really tough times. In Romans, it talks about a process that goes from suffering, which produces endurance, which produces character, which produces hope. And it says specifically that hope does not make ashamed. So I think at times like this, hope is the best thing.
Next, Eden. She's 22 and is home from nursing school.
In this season, what I've learned about hope is that no matter what trial you're going through, you have to have some type of anchor that gets you through it. And in this season, that anchor got tested for me with kind of the storms of social distancing and trying to do class online when you're a senior and don't want to do anything. You just want to go to work. But one thing that really encouraged this is looking at how temporary this is and how we have a sure hope in God coming to right all wrongs for the new Eden, new heaven and earth to be made. And specifically, a quote by C.S. Lewis encouraged me. He shares about that God as the director, when he walks on the stage and the play is over, when you see the whole natural universe melting away like a dream and something else, something never that's entered your head to conceive comes crashing in, something so beautiful to some of us and so terrible to others that none of us will have any choice left. Now today is this moment, is our chance to choose the right side. God is holding back to give us that chance. It will not last forever. We must take it or leave it. If you think about life as a stage, and when God comes on as the director at the end, that's the end of the play, that this world will be over, and then the rest is a celebration after. It puts in perspective how the little mess-ups, the little things that bug you, or if you feel down or depressed, that there is something afterwards, and this is only temporary. And then you get that endurance to get through those trials. And that's how I find hope.
And third, Jordan. He's 16 and he just got back from his shift at the grocery store.
I found a verse, 1 Corinthians 13:13. "And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." I was reading a different version of this where it says, these three things will last forever, faith, hope, and love. So there are two encouraging things that I find in this verse. The first encouraging thing is that the hope that we have right now in this hard time will last forever. And this is the same hope that we're going to have when we come to even more difficult times. So if we can find hope now, then it will always be with us. And the other is that if we can find the love of the Lord and the love of others, then we will be able to help produce hope. Because that's really why love is the greatest, because it produces faith and hope.
If you're struggling, please reach out on our website. We'd be glad to help in any way we can. Lettersfromhomepodcast.com. God bless you all.
Tina Smith, and I am the host of the Raising Kids on Your Knees podcast, a podcast dedicated to equipping you to pray and parent life into the lives of your children. You can find me at raisingkidsonyourknees.org. There you will find the tools that you need to pray for your children and step up your spiritual parenting. This has been a rough week for me. I can do anything for a couple of weeks, but I hit the wall at 3. Then, when I heard we had at least another month of this new temporary, the verse in Proverbs 13:12 rang so true for me. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. I have never had hopeless despair crouch at the door before, but he was sitting right there waiting for me to open it and let him waltz right in. As I pressed into God and listened to his small, still voice, he began showing me how he was up to something. Not just in my life, but also in the lives of all of us who are following him. He reminded me that I don't want to go back to the familiar because the familiar is a trap. Familiar keeps us stuck in the same old, same old. Isn't that exactly what we want to do when we're up against a hard thing? Run back to what is familiar and feels safe. He reminded me that he is doing a new thing and to anticipate it. He is making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. However, in order to see the new, I had to forget the former. I had to stop longing for what was familiar. He's tearing down those things that keep me from growing and moving forward. Only God can move forward when it feels like everything all around us has taken a giant step backwards. And so, there is hope in the midst of turmoil and chaos. Hope for a new beginning, hope for a new tomorrow, and a new you. Are you willing to go there with me? Are you willing to see this as God putting us in the boat with him? He's telling us that we will get to the other side, even though in the middle of the lake, it will feel like we're drowning. The bright hope of Easter is clouded by the darkness of Good Friday. Without Good Friday, there wouldn't be Easter, and without this trial, there won't be a new you and a new me. What is it God is doing in your life right now? He is revealing what is inside your heart and beckoning you to lay it at his feet so that you may be resurrected into all he created you to be. I don't want to get to the other side of this blessed pause only to miss all that God wants to do in my life in the middle of it. What about you? This will be over before we know it. Really, it will. And we have two choices in the midst of it: to press into the work God wants to do in our lives and be changed by his marvelous grace, or run to the familiar only to emerge on the other side of all of this, no more sanctified than the day we began. For most of us, this pause in the action is really a beautiful gift from God. It is a chance to pray for those on the front lines. It's an opportunity to build new and deeper relationships with our family members. It's an opportunity to leave the former things that were standing in the way of your relationship with God and develop new habits that draw you closer to him. You see, God has given us just enough time to begin making new habits that will bring life to those around us and to ourselves on the other side of this. Let me leave you with Proverbs 13:12 from the TPT version of the Bible. Here's what that says. When hope's dream seems to drag on and on, the delay can be depressing. But when at last your dream comes true, life's sweetness will satisfy your soul. The hope is that when all of this comes to an end, life's sweetness will satisfy your soul.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tara K. Ross, and I co-host the Hope Pros podcast along with Rebecca Black. Over at the Hope Pros podcast, we are big fans of books. To be more specific, we love stories that are filled with hope-filled prose, stories that meet someone within their fear, grief, or confusion, and offer hope, empathy, and healing. I myself have personally seen how well-crafted words can transform a person's life. I've also seen through my work as an author and school-based speech-language pathologist how shared reading can bring people together in a way that is God-inspired and so nurturing to the spirit. To support the CPA Hope Collaboration, we wanted to offer our communities recommendations for hope-filled stories from across ages and genres that can be enjoyed as a family or on your own. These selections come from our own libraries and those of our listeners. It was next to impossible to narrow down to just three, but we only have 5 minutes. So we're going to share our top three picks for preschoolers, school age, and young adults during this unsettling and confusing time. We'll finally share three of our favorite picks to enjoy and find peace with, even as an adult. So our top three picks for preschoolers were Max Lucado's You Are Special, The Garden, the Curtain, and the Cross by Carl Lafferton, and Last Stop on Market Street by Matt De La Pena. Our three hope-filled picks for school-age kiddos were A Wrinkle in Time by Madeline L'Engle, The Secret Garden by Frances Hodgson Burnett, and Bridge to Terabithia by Katherine Patterson. And these are great read-alouds as a family. Our three hope-filled picks for young adults, and this is our sweet spot because this is primarily what we do on the Hope Pros podcast. I love The Giver by Lois Lowry. We enjoyed so much the story behind Stephanie Morrell's Within These Lines. It was also recommended by someone in our community. And then another book that we think would just bring so much hope right now is 100 Days of Sunlight by Abby Emmons. So for adults, as well as for young adults, and for great read-alouds, we have a couple of selections that we think might work for you to help feel inspired and hopeful during this time, as well as to share as a family. I just finished reading All Manner of Things by Susie Finkbeiner, and this was such a hope-filled story, which would be a great one for you to just read on your own. All the Light We Cannot See by Anthony Doerr is an amazing novel as well and brings a lot of hope into a very dark situation. A great family book, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, the classic beginning novel by C.S. Lewis in The Chronicles of Narnia. And then another one that could be great to read with your teenagers is Nadine Brandis's Out of Time series. There are so many other books that we could recommend, but we're trying to be good for time here. Remember, reading is a perfect way to quiet your mind for a while, to bring you back to truths that are eternal and unchanging. And reading does not have interruptions or commercial breaks with headlines. You can turtle away from the world for a while, and in most of these cases, order the ebook or pick it up virtually from your library without needing to leave your house. We are praying that even within our isolation, through reading timeless stories, we will be reminded of our connected humanity. If you want to hear more about hope-filled YA books and listen in as we chat with authors who write them, subscribe to the Hope Pros podcast on your favorite podcast player. And with that, we hope that we've inspired sparks for your creative journey.
Hello and welcome to Moments with Moni. I'm so glad you're here. Join me as we ponder life from a biblical perspective.
You can find Moments with Moni on Anchor, Stitcher, Overcast, and Apple Podcasts, or my blog at momentswithmoni.wixsite.com, or on Facebook.
Welcome to the Hope Collaboration with the Christian Podcast Association. This original short story presentation on hope is brought to you by Moments with Moni. Guess what? What, Rose? What? Daddy says he's building a new home for us, and it's going to be bigger than any other place we've ever lived. Did you see him? Where is he? I want to see him. Well, no, I haven't seen him, Lily, but he sent this letter. Oh, well, keep going. Let me know what he said. Well, of course, Dad tells us that he loves us just as much as he did before he left to prepare a new place for us and wants us to remember to love and to be kind to each other. I think Dad would be proud of us because we have been doing that, right, Rose? Yes, Lily, but I don't think he knew how difficult it would be to be kind all the time. Anyway, let me finish. Oh, oh my. What, Rose? What's the matter? Well, maybe he did know. Dad is warning us that things may not always be easy while he is gone, but he wants us to remember the letters he wrote to us, because there may come a time when some people will not let us keep the words he's written to us. What? Why would someone want to take Dad's letters away from us, Rose? He says little ones love each other, as I love you, because many who live near you, or even on the other side of the world, may not have heard of this kind of love. Some people are so hurt inside that they continue hurting others because it's all they know. Tell them about the place I am building. Make sure they understand that your dad is helping you live this way. I will come for you soon, your loving Daddy. Oh, Rose, I miss him so much. When is he coming back? He didn't say, Lily. Let's take a break and go check on Mrs. Taylor. Knock, knock. I'll ring the doorbell. Give it a few minutes, Lily. Mrs. Taylor doesn't move as fast as you. I hear her coming. Hello? Who is it? Hello, Mrs. Taylor. It's Lily and Rose. We brought you some toilet paper and left it in a bag on your porch. Oh, my. It's so nice to see your smiling faces. How is your dad doing? Is he coming back soon? Yes, Mrs. Taylor. He said he is still preparing the new place and should be returning shortly. Well, thank you so much for thinking of me and for the toilet paper. Have a nice day. Oh, and we put a copy of Dad's letters in the basket for you to read. Thank you, girls. Goodbye. Goodbye. Let's read the next letter from Dad. Let me remind you of a few things I have shared with you in the past. All these plans started a long time ago when no one lived on the earth yet. The garden was beautiful and the perfect spot for two people to meet. They enjoyed the garden for a short while, but because they made bad choices that affected them and the generations to come, they were sent out of the garden to now live with the consequences because they disobeyed their dad. There was now hard work and pain to deal with, and as time went on, there were more people that did ugly things. They didn't want anyone telling them what to do, but Dad sent another to help, the only hope for the world, and they killed him. But he didn't stay dead. The only hope came back to life again after 3 days. Oh, you know, Lily, I tried to explain this to a friend the other day, but all I could say was, I know it might sound like a sci-fi movie, but I think about it this way. Our bodies will all die one day, but the real us inside, the spirit will live on forever in one place or another. We only see the physical temporary world around us right now, but the permanent spiritual world will last forever. You did good, Rose. Is there more in the letter? Yes, again, Dad encourages us to read the letters and share them with as many people as we can. And he said, yes, by all means, invite people to come live with us in the future. Have them read any of the letters that I had Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John write down to help them understand it better. To answer your next question, I am sorry to remind you that not everyone will be allowed to live here. I will deal with the others when I come back the second time. When it's time for you to come to your new home, I will have my friend Michael play the trumpet while I call for you. I have everything you will ever need here, and you will never have to leave. I have a big dinner planned for you when you arrive with all your friends who trust in the only hope. I can't wait to see you face to face.
Hi, I'm Brandi Gable from The Road Home to You, a podcast offering hope and faith in Jesus to those wounded by others, stuck in addiction, or afflicted by the storms of life. After Jesus sat at the well with an outcast woman from Samaria,
having shared all he knew about how she longed for something more meaningful than one failed relationship after another, she got up and went to her townspeople and shared her story. When two men were walking down the dusty road after Jesus had been crucified, they met up with a third man, who at first glance appeared not to know why they were so sad. But then the third man spoke, and he shared the stories of past generations, of prophecies being fulfilled, and soon the men realized that they were indeed speaking to the risen Christ, and they too went and shared their story of how they'd met Jesus. Stories are important. They are the touchstone to our past. They remind us of where we've been and where we are going. In times such as these, we hear many stories, from doctors and nurses on the front lines, to the politicians working to make the right call for their states, to our own neighbors, friends, and family who are sick or fearful of getting sick. There are stories coming out every day that illustrate both the best and the worst that humanity has to offer. I'm fortunate enough to have a story from my great-grandmother who was 14 years old when the flu pandemic of 1918 happened. She had recently moved to Spokane, Washington, and had only been in school for a week when, because of the flu, the schools were all closed down. On Thanksgiving Day, she and her aunt, along with 10 other young women, went to a local play. The next day, she recalls she and the girl she sat next to the previous evening both woke up sick. 5 days later, her friend had died. She recounts, "Every one of those girls except my Aunt Verna had the flu, and my mother was scared to death. My mother and grandmother got flu, but my aunt stayed home and nursed all of us and never did get it, and my grandfather never got it. Dad never got it either. Whenever the Indians came, he'd light up his pipe and smoke it, and they'd be coughing and they were dying like flies. But when they'd leave, he'd spray formaldehyde, and he thinks that's what kept him from getting it. I was in bed for 10 days. The doctor said, go on a liquid diet, no solids. Stay in bed until your temperature is down for 3 days. My uncle nearly died of it. Christmas, we were all starting to get well, so got together, and we were a bunch of the shakiest people you've ever seen." This is a rare look into the time and experience my ancestors were living through as they faced a pandemic. I've read this accounting so many times, but not once would I have guessed that I'd live to see a pandemic also. But here we are. And we also have a story to tell. Each one of us is experiencing so much of the same thoughts and feelings, yet we're all walking through them differently. Our understanding of the world around us is unique from anyone else's. And in the midst of all of this, we are each experiencing God. What's your story? How has this time of social isolation affected you? What have you learned about yourself, your priorities, your boundaries, your hopes and fears? What have you learned about your relationships, about God? In writing our stories down, not only do we leave a legacy for our descendants, but we also give ourselves a chance to reflect and process our own experiences. The very act of writing is therapeutic and calming. The other wonderful thing about stories is that they provide a memorial for us to see and remember God's faithfulness, like the Israelites as they wandered through the desert, leaving memorials of stone when God provided. The stories we share with each other about God's provision and presence stand out as beacons of hope during the darkest of days. Go. Grab a notebook and a pen and start writing your story. Then share it, because I promise someone will be blessed and encouraged when you do. Be sure to check out the Road Home to You podcast at roadhometoyou.com
or wherever you download podcasts. And remember, love God, love people, and pray hard.
Thank you so much for listening today. I hope that you have enjoyed hearing from my friends and getting a taste of what their shows are like. I encourage you to go and find their podcast episodes on your favorite podcast player and subscribe. As you can tell, we all have one common goal, and that is to bring hope to you during this time. Happy Good Friday, friends. As I wrap this up, I want to just leave you with this scripture, something that we're probably all very familiar with, Hebrews 11:1. It tells us, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." You see, the object of hope becomes a reality through faith. As always, remember that you can do anything if you are willing. Thank you for listening to today's message. My hope is that you will take what you've heard and apply it to your own life. It begins with the willingness to take action towards positive change and transformation. But I'm here to tell you, you can do anything if you are willing. Be sure to subscribe and listen to From Willingness to Wellness for future inspiring as well as practical messages. For more information and to receive your free gift from me by subscribing to my newsletter, visit my website at forthewilling.com. That's the number 4, thewilling.com.